Hi, welcome to Weekend Watchlist, a look at what's screening and streaming, brought to you by The Letterboxd Show. I'm Mia, they're Slim.
Hello.
And together we'll dig through what's dropping this weekend, last weekend, recent trends on Letterboxd, and we'll also take a peek at our own watch lists, all under 30 minutes or your money back.
Mia, we're 1 week removed from Black Adam, and it's Armageddon time. So Black Adam gets released, and it's Armageddon, Mia. You do the math. This week, we'll talk about James Gray's new movie, Armageddon Time, the return of Henry Selick with Wendell and Wilde on Netflix, and we'll drift into thriller territory with Holy Spider. And after that, we'll look back to see what everyone thought on Letterboxd about last week's releases, your community reviews, tagged Weekend Watchlist, and of course, most important of all, we'll talk about our own shuffled watch list later in the episode.
This might be our biggest episode ever. Because
are you for real?
Yeah, because it's Armageddon time, which is this searing apocalyptic sci-fi that...
Nope.
Okay. I'm reading the synopsis. It seems...
You've been swindled by James.
I've been a little swindled by Mr. James Gray. Armageddon Time is on 27,000 watch lists. And it is actually a deeply personal story about the strength of family, the complexity of friendship, and the generational pursuit of the American dream. Slim, I heard a rumor that you and Gemma may have talked to Mr. Gray himself. Is this true?
This is a real rumor. This is fact. Gemma and I talked to James yesterday for the Letterboxd show, so that will be out next week. And he came on the pod to talk about his four faves, really interrelated to Armageddon time. Great guest, super knowledgeable about movies. Cinephile is a word I would use when discussing James Gray. His four movies were The 400 Blows, A Woman Under the Influence.
Woo!
Yeah, I knew you'd like that. Zero for Conduct and Amarcord from Federico Fellini. And outside of Ad Astra, I don't think I'd seen a ton of his movies. So beforehand, I watched We Own the Night and The Lost City of Z before I saw Armageddon Time. I love The Lost City of Z.
Starring my man.
Your boy?
My boy, Rob. Robert Pattinson. Gotta shout him out.
He plays the secondary character in this one. In another lifetime, I would have seen him being the lead if this had come out maybe just a few years later.
I wish. Sorry, no shade to Charlie Hunnam.
No, Charlie Hunnam is amazing in The Lost City of Z. I loved The Lost City of Z. I loved the ending. It's on Prime. But Armageddon Time is sort of like autobiographical movie about his childhood in school, his family, you know, dealing with being Jewish in New York, but also trying to assimilate, but also when to speak up in like really tough situations in New York. So a departure a little bit from maybe what you have seen James do in recent years.
It's also Reagan era New York. Yucky. So it has a lot of themes of balancing white guilt and complicity with, you know, a marginalized Jewish identity. And it's all through the eyes of this child who's kind of on the cusp of losing his innocence. Jeremy Strong of Succession also co-stars, so we have that for the suckheads out there.
We go from whole horror to suckheads. What else will you come up with on this pod?
I know, you'll just have to keep listening.
There are some reviews on Letterboxd already, so I think it's out limited this weekend and going wide very soon, so your theater might have this. Oliver wrote a review. It's rare to find a biographical film that so openly deals with questions of privilege, and I know that there was some criticism about the film about this topic, as Tony wrote in their review, a very thin line between being a movie about white guilt and giving agency and compassion for its minority characters. So I think that is a worthy topic of discussion for this film. So recommend people go out and see it in theaters and leave your own review on Letterboxd to see what you thought.
We've got another coming of age story, but this one's more goth, more my speed, more spooky, more creepy. It's from Henry Selick of Nightmare Before Christmas and Coraline. It's called Wendell and Wilde. It's on 25,000 watch lists, and it is coming out this weekend on Netflix. It's about two demon brothers who enlist the aid of Cat Elliot, a tough teen with a load of guilt, to summon them to the land of the living. But what Cat demands in return leads to a brilliantly bizarre and comedic adventure like no other. We've both seen this.
We have seen this. Stop motion Halloween Netflix. We're back, Mia. We're back. What did you think about this one?
So I'm hardwired to love it because I'm also a punk girl. And the lead is, in Selleck's own words, an Afro-punk princess. She's so effing cool. She's blasting these awesome Riot Girl bands out of her boombox, like X-Ray Specs and Big Joni. Like, they really did their research into the Riot Girl soundtrack, which I always appreciate. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed this. Stop motion animation lives, which is good, because I was a little worried for it.
Yeah. It looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
The stop motion is amazing and co-written by Jordan Peele. I mean, what more can you ask for? Halloween, get a Jordan Peele co-written stop motion feature with some demons. And I have to say, Jordan Peele is the cutest demon I've ever seen.
I was just going to bring that up. So the Key and Peele demons are designed to look like them.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, the Jordan Peele one especially is so adorable. I'm obsessed with him.
It reminds me of, like, I was thinking back, the Santa Claus from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer,
stop motion.
And who was the guy that was narrating that story? Everyone listening probably knows, but the old... it's not Father Time, or I don't know. Someone yell at me in my Twitter comments.
Oh my God, someone's going to yell at you.
Pushing their glasses up as they're typing the Twitter reply. So this is a great weekend watch. David Sims, world famous David Sims, left a review. So busy and overflowing with ideas, but very sweet and good-hearted. Glad he got to make it.
There are a lot of ideas brimming about in this one. There are themes of the prison industrial complex, gentrification, childhood grief, really, really heavy themes, but balanced out with, you know, Key and Peele humor and whimsy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Christina left a review that cracked me up. Overall, an actually funny animated movie with a pretty banging soundtrack. Mercifully, zero, quote, so that just happened, end quote, moments.
Yeah.
That, like, just seeing that in text form makes me think about how often I do see that in comedies, and it makes me want to crawl under a blanket and never come out.
A lot of modern comedy is just kind of pointing at stuff that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole joke. That's not a joke. That's the entire joke.
It was
very refreshing to watch Wendell in Wild.
Yes. All right, let's move to thriller territory. Holy Spider, directed by Ali Abbasi, on 17,000 watch lists and a limited release. A journalist descends into the dark underbelly of the Iranian holy city of Mashhad as she investigates the serial killings of sex workers by the so-called spider killer, who believes he is cleansing the streets of sinners.
Yeah.
This one sounds heavy. This one sounds very heavy, Mia.
It does. It does sound very heavy, but it's from the director Ali Abbasi of Border. And he's also directing a couple of new episodes of the new Last of Us series. Yay.
Oh.
So it seems like Dark is in his wheelhouse. I also just want to add that the lead, Zar Amir Ebrahimi, won Best Actress at Cannes.
Mm-hmm.
Want to add? Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah. And also the director, again, won Best Director at Fantastic Fest. So it's getting a lot of acclaim. This is going to be, I think, in the running for certain awards coming up this season.
Right. I have seen the poster for Border on Letterboxd often. That's in my watch list right now. I really want to see that. But you're a Last of Us mega fan. Is it safe to call you a Last of Us mega fan?
It is safe to say it. Yes. Yes. I'm a huge fan of the Last of Us series. I'm like all flustered thinking about it.
I've never played Last of Us because this one's a PS.
Oh, are you a gamer? Are you not a gamer?
This one's only on PlayStation. I'm an Xbox boy.
Oh, that's why. That's the divide between us. I'm a PlayStation girl. Okay. Well, I'm a big Last of Us fan, and I think that all of the, like, the trailer and the behind the scenes photos that are coming out it's all very promising. So I'm very excited, and I'm excited to see this director's take on it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm also an HBO boy, so I'll be giving this a shot. You know. Love to support my little startup HBO Max as best I can.
HBO will bring all the gamers together, Xbox and PlayStation alike.
We have to spotlight Jack. Our own Jack left a very positive review. Horrifyingly powerful and stomach-churningly bleak. It reminded me of the way The Vanishing and The Act of Killing make you feel.
We also have a review from Afra Nariman. a raw and shocking new addition to Iranian cinema. Holy Spider is particularly unsettling and stressful to watch considering the current circumstances in Iran. The film is patient in scenes depicting violence, making such scenes truly difficult to keep your eyes on at times. If anything, the film perhaps leans into the spectacle of violence a bit too much, but overall, I think that it is effective in what it sets out to accomplish.
Speaking of stressful watch, just a quick mention, Lightning Round, All Quiet on the Western Front, hitting Netflix, directed by Edward Berger. Also on 17,000 watch list, Paul Baumer and his friends, egged on by romantic dreams of heroism, voluntarily enlist in the German army. Full of excitement and patriotic fervor, the boys enthusiastically march into a war they believe in. But once on the Western Front, they discover the soul-destroying horror of World War I.
Ooh, remake of the Best Picture-winning film of the same name from 1930, I believe. So it's about time. It is about time for a remake, perhaps.
90 years. That's when it. That's when yeah, it starts to happen. That's when the conversations about... start to happen. 90 years or 9 months. That's when the remake discussions start. So let's look back at last week. Many releases. Your Banshees of Inisherin. Did I get
Inisherin.
That right? The Banshees of Inisherin.
Thank you very much.
4.2 average on Letterboxd.
We're climbing.
Cripes alive. Now is the time to spotlight that. It jumped into the Letterboxd top 250 at 186. It's already in the Letterboxd top 250. That's nuts.
Oh, I'm so proud of my boys, Colin and Brendan and Barry.
Freya left a review. Colin Farrell, I am so fond of you and your unnatural eyebrow acting abilities. Mm-hmm. Are those real eyebrows? Are those real?
Yes, and they're going to net him an Oscar one day.
real quick, Barbarian, one of my favorite movies of the year, is on HBO Max right now. HBO Max boy, got to show my support. Fired up. Watch Barbarian with your loved ones or alone in the dark, whichever your preference is. What about you? What do you want to spotlight?
Oh, Slim, I bought my ticket to Paradise.
Oh, no. How did it go? Is the rom-com back officially?
I wish I could say it was. It would give me the greatest pleasure in the world to say that the rom-com was back. Ticket to Paradise, it was a little bit of a bumpy ride. I'm not going to lie to you, Slim. But the charm and charisma of Julia Roberts and George Clooney almost makes up for that. Plus, we have the addition of Lucas Bravo from the beloved Netflix original Emily in Paris. I presume you've seen every episode of Emily in Paris, Slim.
No.
Seems right up your alley.
I've never even heard of that.
That can't stop. I just want to say, Lucas Bravo, keep that name on your radar, even though it sounds fake. He's going to be an international star.
Ticket to Paradise.
Ticket to
the
Paradise.
The rom-com is finished. Quote, I just quoted you. I'm paraphrase quoting you. The rom-com is over. It's dead and buried.
Oh, don't worry. I'm going to revive it. Somebody's got to do something.
You want to talk about a rom-com revival. Halloween Ends. Halloween Ends saved the rom-com, a love story for the ages. I need to get up on my pedestal and talk about how I gave Halloween Ends 4 stars.
Whoa!
It's in the twos on Letterboxd right now. I'm
it's
not even going to look.
It's got a 2.9. No.
I think it might even be lower.
Hold on. Let's check for you so that you don't have to see it.
I don't even
want
to look.
Yeah, you don't have to look. Don't worry. Okay, it is at 2.3. If that,
that is so low. I do not agree with that whatsoever. I had a lot of fun. In my second review, I rewatched this. My second review, I called this David Gordon Green's The Last Jedi. You know, very divisive movie. Some nerds didn't like it. Some nerds did. But it's dividing the nerds.
Ooh.
The nerds are divided.
Halloween Ends was a psyop to divide the nerds.
Psyop is one of my favorite words. Yeah. You spring that on somebody, they don't know what to do after that.
It's a psyop in itself.
After Sun, sitting at a 4.1 average, the River Jordan left review. Paul Mescal is daddy, and we couldn't be luckier as filmgoers that he has chosen to take on the parental responsibility. Very nice review, longer review from the River Jordan. We'll have linked in the episode notes.
I really want to see After Sun, but I know it's going to make me weep in the theater for the entire time. Yeah. So
sob job.
I have to schedule it for a day where I'm okay with sobbing in public. Can I please read one Ticket to Paradise review? Please. God.
Please.
With a cast this charming and the undeniable charisma of Julia and George, even a rom-com so unsurprising in its predictability can be a joy to watch. I could watch their bona fide movie star asses play in Bally all day. This review from Jess. Thank you, Jess. Thank you.
With vindication for Ticket to Paradise.
Mm-hmm. It's okay to eat slop sometimes.
Yeah, I go to Burger King every so often.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Sometimes you just want to eat that bacon cheeseburger on your way home and throw out the trash before your family sees that you stopped at Burger King on the way home.
Yes.
Keep it a secret.
That's the ticket to paradise.
Speaking of dirtbag moves like that, Karsten just released their short Dirtbag. Karsten, you have folks maybe know as a very popular Letterboxd reviewer. But they just released a short Dirtbag. It's loggable on Letterboxd, and it's on Vimeo. About 12 minutes. Very fun. I liked it. It gave it a big old juicy heart. And you can watch that yourself. Use the links in the episode notes.
And now it's time to check in on the Letterboxd Top 50 of 2022 to see what is at the top of the list for things released this year. I am so pleased to announce that our beloved Tar has bumped up to 195 from 240. P.S.
Wow.
Keep an eye out for a new Easter egg on the site, Tar lovers. We've got something for you.
Love a good Easter egg.
Mm-hmm. We also have Korean teenage romance film, 20th Century Girl, which dropped on Netflix last Friday. It's entering at number 26, just outside our all-time top 10 films by women Asian directors.
Wow.
Woohoo! Lastly, Belgian action thriller Rebel comes in at number 46, directed by Adil El Arbi and Bilal Fallah, known for their 2020 box office number one hit, Bad Boys for Life, and tragically, the scrapped Batgirl film.
I mean, we're getting Black Adam in theaters. We can't get Batgirl
on
HBO Max. I'm sitting through Black Adam, and I can't watch Michael Keaton and Batgirl together. Jeesh. Somebody wake up over there. I'm an HBO boy, okay?
Yeah.
Golly. All right, let's go to our watch lists and our friends in the community watch list. Usually in this segment of the show, we shuffle our watch list the previous week, and whatever we get at the top of our list, we have to watch before we chat again. And I got Christine, finally. It's been sitting on my watch list for many moons.
Not the car movie, correct?
Not the car movie. Rebecca Hall in this one. She plays the true story of Christine Chubbuck as a reporter dealing with depression in the 70s as she struggles to move up the corporate ladder at the station. And the ending has a very real moment, a version of a real moment that actually happened on live television, I think for the first time ever. Like when this happened in the 70s, it had never happened before. So viewers beware, it's a heavy movie, heavy ending. Rebecca is obviously tremendous in it. I mean, how many Oscars is Rebecca going to win in the next 10 years, right? Is it 10?
Nine. Almost 10. Close.
Could be. She's great in it. I didn't love this movie. I had trouble connecting with her character, to be honest, but she is great in it. So I'm glad I can finally, I don't have to remove it from my watch list. It's automatically removed my watch list. I'm glad that I finally watched it. What did you get?
I got some lighter fare. I got Mona Lisa Smile. So I had a nice little night watching Julia Roberts as an art history professor teaching her all-female cohort a thing or two about life and love. It's set at Wellesley College, and apparently when this came out, it caused a big stir because it is extremely inaccurate to that college's lifestyle, and a lot of people were really mad. I feel like I have a journalistic duty to mention that. However, I still had fun because I didn't attend that college, so I didn't know it was inaccurate. I also double featured it with the Stepford Wives remake.
Oh my God.
Yes, because that's what, again, on HBO, that's what popped up when I finished Mona Lisa Smile. It was like, you should try watching another movie about how marriage is bad. So I took that advice and I had a second wave feminism double feature and I had a blast.
Wow, what a run for you.
Yeah.
My God. One of the things that I really dislike about HBO doesn't do this. Thank you, HBO. But some streaming services autoplay that recommended movie like 2 seconds after a movie ends.
Yeah.
It should be illegal for that to happen, Mia. It should be illegal.
One time I was watching some, I don't remember which movie, but it was some like harrowing drama. And then it started autoplaying Family Guy. Really quickly afterwards. Like, yeah. So,
and then some people may be saying, oh, Slim and Mia, there's probably a setting to disable autoplay. Wrong. There's no setting to disable autoplay. You know, streaming apps, I won't name them, but it rhymes with Keepak. You know, you need to enable a setting that disables autoplay, or I'm just going to continue whining about it on this
Keepak.
Podcast.
What are you saying?
Rhymes with Keepak.
Keepak.
You rearrange the letters and you'll know what servers I'm talking about. So we have some members of our community that are also shuffling their watch list alongside of us. Austin watched Climax. Can you imagine shuffling your watch list and getting Climax? This Step Up multiverse is wild. I loved Climax. I had an amazing viewing time watching that.
I think it's on my watch list, actually. So there might be a day where I shuffle and get it. I'm laughing at the prospect of Austin getting it, but that could very well happen to me.
Sheesh. Imagine having like a night out watching, invite your friends over to watch Climax. What was that one movie you told me about that you had like a birthday group viewing?
Existence and by David Cronenberg.
Similar probably experience to the movie watching group there.
Yeah. We have a review from Jeff Kisek of His House. Already loaded up with guilt, anxiety, and frustration, this only compounded it. Somehow it helps to lay it on so thick that you're suffocated and you have no choice but to come up for air. Terrific performances by the two mains. And I love that they're both smart people that immediately recognize what's at issue, only to disagree about the solution. A good old disagreement.
Love this movie. This is on Netflix. This is reminded me of the movie House from the 70s. Did you see Waxwork Records? A vinyl release that was announced this week?
Oh, yes. It's gorgeous.
Stunning release. I need to get more records in this house. Secretly.
Didn't you, Slim, real quick, didn't you talk to the Waxwork Records people?
Oh, that's funny you bring that up. We did talk to Kevin from Waxwork. Very, very nice fellow. Very gracious, very humble. Told some great stories about how they worked with William Friedkin on their Exorcist release. And I remember before the interview, I don't own that one. It's sold out, but I was scanning and it has the shot of her on the bed making that weird contorted view and the demon is like in front of her and it's just like the shadows of the two of them. I always loved that shot, but that's the art they use, the key art for that release. And Friedkin had told him that this is the best design for The Exorcist that I've seen since the original poster. And like, how awesome to hear that from William Friedkin. He said he was like texting his buddy that did the art for that release. Like, what a compliment to get. Holy cow.
I can't even imagine. Like, that's why you get into the business.
That's right, yeah. So it was cool to hear him talk about why they do this, why they put the work in. They just want to make the actual creators of these films proud and happy with their releases. So very, very cool to hear the inside story of their company. Bryce X. Chapman's The Witches of Eastwick review. Jack can vomit on me anytime he would like.
Yeah,
I'm pro vomit.
You pulled
I'm pro
that
vomit in film.
I know. This is another divide between us.
I mean, the 20-minute triangle of sadness vomit scene, right? Where's the Oscar talk for that scene? That's what
God.
I want to know.
Yeah, they need to have a whole category for gross out gag.
Should we shuffle our watch list now? Should
we
go back?
I guess we should do that part. I guess that is important to the show.
We have to go to our own watch list. I'm pulling it up on the website, letterboxd.com, and I am going to filter by stream only, keyed in my favorite streaming services as pro members or patrons can do, and I'm going to sort by shuffle. So the very first movie that I get, I have to watch. Oh boy. Andrew Garfield, Under the Silver Lake.
Oh my God.
I've heard buzz about this movie. Oh my God. I see a 2.5 rating from my co-host today.
Oh my God. I'm scared to say this because I know it has a huge following and people really love the movie, but I am a major hater.
51 comments on this review from you.
Oh geez. Oh God. Oh no, this was before you could limit the comments.
I wonder if you even looked at those comments.
No.
Let me just read just a taste of this review.
No.
This is from 2018. a long time ago, every 20 minutes or so, something stupid would happen, like Topher Grace going on a We Live in a Society rant, and I'd think, this kind of sucks? And then the admittedly sick camera work would throw in some technical gimmick to trick me into thinking it doesn't suck. Mia's hands are covering her face. I would probably die if I read any of my 2018 reviews.
Yeah,
too,
that's actually not too bad for a 2018 review. And I stand by it.
Okay.
But we'll see, because a lot of my very close dear friends love this movie.
2,200 likes on that review.
Okay, so we exist. The haters exist.
So there are others. And you're not alone.
I also want to say I love you, Andrew Garfield. I love you dearly, and I'm sorry. Love you, Andy Garf.
Garf, come on the show.
Come on, Garf.
This is streaming on Hoopla and Canopy, so I will be using my local library to watch this digitally. Now it's your turn.
Okay. I got Vampire's Kiss 1988, starring Nicolas Cage.
Oh my gosh. Vampire's Kiss.
Oh, you know I'm a vampire scholar, and this is one that obviously I have not seen, but it's also on Canopy. Look at that. And
Criterion.
And I was just going to say, and the Criterion channel. This is a Criterion level film. Interesting.
Look at that backdrop of Nicolas Cage's eyes.
You best believe I'm looking straight at it.
Oh my God. Seduction, romance, murder, the things one does for love.
Oh, this is right up my alley. This is going to be a hit for me. I'm thrilled. David Hyde Pierce is in it. Oh my God.
I'm looking at a review from a friend of mine, Kev. All-timer, quite possibly the largest cinematic iceberg of all time.
What?
That's what Kev is saying right now.
The largest cinematic iceberg?
You'll have to watch that and translate.
Have you seen the film? Have you seen this one?
I have not seen Vampire's Kiss.
Okay, don't worry. I'll translate for you in a week.
Thanks so much for listening to Weekend Watchlist, brought to you by The Letterboxd Show. You can follow Mia, Slim, that's me, and our HQ page on Letterboxd using the links in our episode notes. And if you had the time, consider rating the show on Spotify or leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It does help spread the word about the show.
Thanks to our crew, and thanks to Letterboxd member Trent Walton for the theme music, Eyes On. Thanks to Jack for the facts and Sophie Shin for the episode transcript. And to you for listening. Weekend Watchlist is a Tape Deck production. This is a Tape Deck podcast.